she set out. It says, in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. It's our reading the Sunday before Christmas. That's how it starts off. So Mary, a pregnant, unwed teenager, got out of Dodge. She fled with haste, far away from where people would know her, so that the scandal could simmer down just a little bit. Scandal? Simmer down? Do you know what I'm talking about? Does that make any sense? This is Christmas. This is, you know, everything went perfectly that first Christmas, right? You don't think that there would have been a scandal? Of course, there would have been a scandal. Joseph was going to leave Mary until an angel came and said, no, take her for your wife. A story that did spread, probably around that time. At least later it did. It went something like this. Here was the gossip of the time. Mary? Huh, I've seen her sneaking around with Pantera, that Roman soldier. They think that nobody sees them, but I've seen them. I know what they've been doing. It's no wonder that she went to see her cousin. See, this story of Mary and Pantera, the Roman soldier, it isn't one that I've made up. It's been circulating since at least the second century. It was written down by one called Celsus, and he was not a big fan of Christianity. And the reason that we know about Celsus's account is because it was written about then in a treatise that was against it, essentially against Celsus, but it's quoted in there. So we know that the document existed, that Celsus had this story going on, and maybe he was sharing a story that had gone on before, because it's likely, as most of the stuff that we have, that the stories were oral first and then written down finally. A scandalous story surrounding Mary, surrounding the birth of Jesus. And that keeps, it's right in keeping with the character of the Jesus story, of Jesus' genealogy. Because remember, I've talked about this before. In Jesus' genealogy, we have Tamar, who tricked her father-in-law into sleeping with her so that she could have children. That's in Genesis 38. It's not hidden. It's right there in the Bible. And then there's Judah, the father-in-law, who called on Tamar to be stoned until he found out that the child was his. Actually, it was twins. And then he sort of backpedaled and was like, oh, well, no, everything's okay then. Kind of like, you know, modern-day politicians. Oh, no, we don't want to do anything bad if it actually comes down on us. Then there's Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute who helped the Israelite spies in Jericho before the walls came tumbling down. That's in Joshua chapter 2. There's Ruth. We talked about Ruth just a few weeks ago, who loved her mother-in-law so much that she seduced an older man, married him, and had children with him. Bathsheba. Bathsheba knew David. You understand, right? And she was married to Uriah at the time. And then there's David, who slept with Bathsheba and then conspired to have Uriah killed. There is all kinds of sordid stuff, scandal, in the genealogy of Jesus. So scandal with Mary makes perfect sense in the story. And I wonder what Mary might have been singing when she was on her way to Elizabeth's house. For sure, she had heard all of the good things, or at least some of the good things, but she was getting out of Dodge. She was trying to leave that stuff behind her. Joseph was going to leave her, and even though, you know, yes, I'll take you for my wife and everything, this kind of stuff just doesn't go well. So she might have been singing a song that she didn't write it. Actually, there's a Psalm of David, or Psalm of somebody, Psalm 88. It is the only Psalm in the Bible without hope. All the other Psalms have, like, you know, there's laments and sadness and everything, but Psalm 88, no hope at all. God of my salvation, please listen to my cry. My life is full of troubles. I feel like I could die. The weakness overcomes me. I'm sinking deeper still. I wonder if you're angry. Do you still love me? If you don't, then who will? I cry out loud, I plead all day. You reject my pleas, turn your face away. I cry out loud, I plead all day. You reject my pleas, turn your face away. Oh, please help me. Might have been singing a song like that. So then she's entering the house. Mary sought the solace of her older cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant. First time pregnancy for both of them, actually. Elizabeth, though, was really kind of old, past the years. Lots of stories in the Bible about that, too. You know, you've got Sarah and Elizabeth and a few others, but they had many things in common, at least the pregnancy part. There was, I'm sure, lots to talk about, if not for different reasons. So Mary the teenager and Elizabeth the old woman in the silent Zechariah's house. Why was Zechariah silent? Well, earlier in the story, we find out that Elizabeth finds out she's going to be pregnant, and Zechariah doesn't believe it when the angel says to him, your wife's going to have a baby. It's like, oh, no. And then the angel says, okay, well, until the baby's born, you're not going to be able to speak. So there. So Zechariah is silent. Mary and Elizabeth are talking and talking and talking and talking, overjoyed to see each other and to support one another. So here's a song that Zechariah might have heard from all this. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more. Pick a little, talk a little, 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 cheep, 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 pick a little, talk a little, cheep. Okay, I didn't do that perfect, but you get the message of it there. Cheap! That's what Zechariah might have heard. Yeah, that's from the Music Man, so he really didn't hear it, but he might have heard a song that was like that in his ears. That's all that he could hear from Elizabeth and Mary. Blessed. Of course, then we get the song, Mary's song. She didn't sing it the way we sang it earlier. But overjoyed at the love and the support of Elizabeth, with courage and anticipation, excited anticipation for what to come, Mary probably sang a song that had the jubilation that the opening song did. That, oh, how I praise the Lord. So I invite you to learn it again, to sing it again, just a little bit. Now, we won't go the whole thing through, but you're gonna have to sing it with me. You got it? Ready to go? Oh, how I praise the Lord. God's the one to be adored. God is mighty, holy one. Great is all the Lord has done. Such mercy here for all who fear. God's the one I hold so dear. Oh, how I praise the Lord. God's the one to be adored. God's the one to be adored. Oh, how I praise the Lord. Oh, how I praise the Lord. There. Mary sang her song. Maybe Mary said her song, and maybe she wasn't a good singer. Maybe she was a good singer. I don't know. But she had some joy that was with her, even amidst all of the fear and probably some of the anger in there, worry, all these different things, all these emotions that were going on there. And we're in Advent, four Advent candles, the fourth Sunday of Advent, and Christmas is coming soon. And how many more days? Five more days. And you know, many people aren't feeling the joy this year. They're feeling more like Psalm 88. Many people are feeling joy. They're feeling like singing more of Mary's song. Others can only hear the pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, and all of the holiday hubbub going on. So I wonder, in this time leading up to Jesus' birth, we go through a range of emotions. Mary went through a range of emotions. She was terrified. She was overjoyed. She was probably angry. She was grateful. She was overwrought. She experienced hope and hopelessness. The same emotions that are present right now, right here. Same emotions that are being felt in our community, in our state, in our country, all around the world during this year's Advent season. Let me share with you some words from Reverend Joffrey Black, who is the new general minister and president of Our United Church of Christ. Advent is a time of holy anticipation. It is a season of looking forward with the expectation that God will reveal the divine presence here on earth, in our midst. For that, we prayerfully wait, not in despair, but in hope and active preparatory engagement. The wonderful reality of Advent is that it segues into Christmas, the celebration of the birth of the Christ child, Jesus. For us, he is the fulfillment of God's willingness to be with us, thus blessing our lives with renewed hope. Our hope is grounded in God's presence in Christ, and the Holy Spirit enables and emboldens us to take initiative to persist in the quest for peace among nations and to seek to be at peace ourselves. So be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, my brothers and sisters, on this Sunday before Christmas. May your soul magnify the Lord. May your spirit rejoice in God, our Savior. May you experience hope and peace and joy and love. And may that hope and peace and joy and love fill your spirit with endless song. And may you encounter Christ's divine presence in your life, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I catch the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? Amen.